engine running.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
3, 2, 1, 0.
All engines
has the hour.
1, 0, 0.
Discovery clears the tower.
Space shuttle. America will continue the dream.
You're listening to the Space Junkies podcast with Patrick Brooks and Captain Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, astronauts of all ages, welcome to the very first inaugural blast-off episode of your new favorite podcast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Space Junkies, the podcast featuring me, Captain Nick, and my dear co-host, the creator of the show, the brains behind it all. That's right, I'm talking about my co-host, Commander Patrick Brooks. Pat.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to blast off. We are Space Junkies.
Oh, so Pat, let me ask you a question. Just as we get started.
Talk to me, buddy.
When you think of the term space junkie, what do you think of? What comes to mind? How would you describe to the people what a space junkie is when it comes to this show?
Like somebody that gets high off of space. So somebody that loves space so much that they got to have it in their veins. And so that's something that, like, I think that we all do, right, as human beings. Yeah. And I think that we've done that throughout human history. Is like we look up at the stars and we're like, oh, I want some of that. I gotta have
give
it.
Me some of those sexy, sexy stars.
I want that shit.
Yeah. So we're basically talking about folks that just love space. You're talking about people who love space on a deep spiritual, narcotic level. You can take it in the veins. You can take it through the pipe. You can take it through your nose. You can take it through a bottle. All I'm saying is you got to take our space junk.
That's it. And you know, the thing is, like, the captain, Nick, my co-host, dear friend, and I, we are far too, well, really sexy, but overweight to go to space anyway. So it's not like something that we're going to be doing anytime soon.
Whoa. Hang on. Are you saying that my dream of having a Saturday morning TV show called Fat Boys in Space is not going to happen?
Well, we can try. I mean, like, everybody else going to space. Jeff Bezos is going to space. Elon Musk is going to space. Why not us, right? Let's give it a shot.
Well, because neither of those guys is fat.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, small point, not a big deal, but, like, also, they're both billionaires.
Oh, there's that, too. Yeah, if we were billionaires, we'd probably totally be in space by now. So, but, you know, the thing is, like, so many people would love to go to space, us included, and probably you too, our dear listener. But are we going to get the chance? Probably not. So, like, I have to rely upon the experiences of those that have gone before us and before Jeff Bezos.
And if all goes well, we'll be featuring a few of those people here on this show in the future, right?
Neil deGrasse Tyson, it'd be great to hear from you too anytime soon.
Hello, Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, and not just astronauts, not just people that have been in space, but we want the people that study space.
Right.
We want the engineers that build the vehicles and technology that make space travel possible. On that note, I really want to start off with, like, one point that I think about a lot as we've been planning this show, as we've been prepping this show, reading about the show, everything I see revolving space now, I kind of, like, dive a little deeper in market because I know we're going to talk about it at some point. So just recently, we had a situation where we dropped an SUV-sized rover on Mars. You may have heard of it.
Super badass, right?
It's incredible. Okay, so let's talk about the Mars rover for a minute. We have some incredibly smart science folks who built a rover the size of an SUV, put it onto a rocket, and shot that sumbitch into space. Somehow, they managed to land it on Mars with science and math and shit. And now we have a rover. We have a Chevy Tahoe living on Mars that has a tiny helicopter that lives on it. And so now we have this incredible footage taken by the rover of the helicopter flying on Mars's surface. Okay? So that's just setting the scene. Now here's where my thought gets interesting. It made the news, but it didn't make any ripples, right?
No.
Most people really didn't even register it. Maybe they heard about it. Maybe they're like, oh, that's cool. But they don't really think about it, right?
And this is amazing. Like, what you're talking about here is mind-blowing.
Think back to our grandparents when they were kids or younger, when they were going through life and then they watched Neil Armstrong land on the moon, They watched that on TV, right? And that was an earth-shaking worldwide moment.
Bring the world together kind of moment.
Okay. And this year, we landed an SUV on Mars with no people, and it drove around, and it took pictures and video and took samples and did science experiments and shit. And then it launched a helicopter that flew around. I'm a helicopter a whole bunch of fucking times.
On Mars.
On Mars, and sent that footage back to Earth, and almost nobody recognized it. And I want to point out, I just want to emphasize the fact that I am amazed that a technological, engineering, exploratory, incredible feat such as that barely made any ripples in our world is a huge testament to the success of our space program.
I think that's a great point. You know, like, it's almost like we're so desensitized to these really cool things that take place in space, right?
It's normal. You feel like George Jetson getting into his flying car to go to work and complaining about traffic. this incredibly advanced machine. Blast it. But it's amazing.
Oh, it blows my mind every time. And, you know, the beauty of space is, like, we can go down this rabbit hole. You know, like, I think about how wonderful it is that we've come this far. And the fact that us Earthlings are so desensitized to us that they just, like, think, like, oh, hey, another rover in space. This is just what we do. But, like, it's unbelievable. We're on the precipice of, like, terraforming another planet in our solar system, right? But then I think, like, well, shit, we might not even be the first species to do this, right? In our galaxy, for okay, sure, in the universe. Thought. Like, I mean, this is so amazing that we're doing this, that human beings are on this. I mean, like, we should be the species that terraforms other planets. Like, when I think about our like badass shows, like, you know, Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica, and I'm thinking about, like, and if you're listening to this podcast, you've seen both of those. Don't tell me you haven't. And, like,
or at least you're aware of it.
You're aware of them, right? Like what I think about this, and I'm like, human beings, us, we could be the ones to do this, but it might have happened, you know, millions or billions of years ago already. There's so many facets to this. We haven't even scratched the surface.
And that begs the question. And so for this intro show, we're going to kind of lurch from topic to topic, just barely touching the surface. But that point you just made is really interesting. Who else is out there? What else are they doing? What's going on outside the reaches of our travel, right? Which right now, right, when you look at the scale of space, we've barely even started walking, right?
Oh, yeah. We're a twinkle in our mother's eye.
So I guess my question to you is this, and we're going to delve really deep into this in several episodes, I'm sure, because it's too big of a topic for one, but I'm just going to ask you straight up right now, and I'm not even going to specify, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Patrick Brooks.
That's me.
Do you believe?
Oh, you're goddamn straight. I mean, the thing about spaces, you know, like, you like, it can encourage anyone. I don't care what your religious affiliation is or your political affiliation or whatever. You look up at the cosmos, how is your mind not blown by it, right? And how do you not look up there and think, like, oh, if all of this, all of these different star systems that are up there that I look at night, like we're the only ones? Give me a break. There's just no chance.
Get out of here. Yeah, there's no chance, right?
There's no chance.
I've always heard it said, I mean, the arrogance of believing that we're the only advanced beings in the entire freaking universe is pretty startling, isn't it?
It is. And I'm really hoping that when we first come in contact with those other beings, I hope they're not dicks. I mean, like, I've seen Mars Attacks. Those guys were dicks. So, but I'm afraid that maybe we're going to be the dicks, you know?
Well, I saw a quote today, and I want to say it was, you know, Isaac Asimov or one of these guys. You know, it's just one of those Instagram meme things. But it was a quote about something like, you know, heaven forbid we should meet an extraterrestrial species and find out that they are just like us. And I don't know how it's intended, but the way I took it was, man, if we meet somebody who's more technologically advanced than us and they're just like we are effed. We are effed in the A real bad.
In the A. It's going to be rough for us. I mean, like I don't know about you guys, but, like, dear listener, but I've met a lot of human beings and I've been like, oh, I'm not into you. at all.
Yeah, there's only a few people that I'm like, yeah, I'm into you.
Yeah. I mean, like if Kathy Ireland was a alien, like green Kathy Ireland, I'd be into her or some other supermodel of the 90s.
No, but, you know what? No, forget all the other supermodels from the 90s. Tyra Banks, you're out of here. Cindy Crawford, you're out of here. Other super babes, sorry, you're dope. Go away. Green Kathy Ireland is the official super babe of the Space Junkies podcast.
Right here, right now. You all heard it on our inaugural episode. Green Kathy Ireland.
So here's the question, though, that begs answering now. If we have an official super babe, who's our official super hunk?
Oh, I thought it was you, Crush.
Well, I mean, it could be, but
I think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's green Neil deGrasse Tyson. There's no question about it.
I was going to suggest green Dave Bautista, but I kind of like green Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Green Neil deGrasse Tyson. And why do the aliens have to be green, by the way? Like, I mean, when human beings landed on the moon for the first time, we were aliens landing on our moon for the first time, technically, right? We weren't green.
Yeah.
They don't have to be green.
You start to wonder, you know, you start looking at the depictions of aliens in media. And, you know, we're not just talking about the shows that have one type of alien because they're the usual green or gray little man, something like that, right? But, like, if you look at, like, a Star Wars.
Yeah.
Look at a Star Trek.
They've got lots of different kinds of aliens.
You start, and you really start, like, realizing that it really, I mean, the options are endless.
And human beings.
No, there's no logic that dictates what it could be because we don't know what potential environments, what potential hazards, what potential nutrient systems. You know, there's any number of different forms. And you know what? As I'm talking about it, the best show, I think, that depicts this. Like, if you want an idea about what the possibilities are with kind of an unlimited mind, you need to watch Futurama.
Sure. You nailed it, right? I mean, like the possibilities really are endless. And, like, to them, like, us human beings, well, we're aliens too, right? Like, we look kind of funky. So
pretty creepy meat bags as humans.
For sure. Yeah, no, Futurama is great because you have all these different kinds of depictions.
I mean, just off the top of my head, bees, water, balls, the neutral people.
Right,
you know, there's a lot of weird. Kif. Remember Kif? I just feel like that'll be a really. Oh fun
yeah, and side note, like, little life update. We're probably never going to be sober on this podcast, and if you are, if you are, dear listener, you should really reevaluate your life. Like, I think that we need to, like,
as the official spokesperson, safety coordinator, and charisma coach of the Space Junkie Space Program. I have to tell everybody that we have an official bylaw that we require inebriation of some form at all times while on Space Junkies property.
And then that's a space beer or some space wine, maybe some space cocktails. Beer. Hey, maybe even a little space marijuana. I don't care. It's fine. Enjoy it.
Who doesn't love a little space drugs?
You're listening to Space Junkies.
This episode of Space Junkies is brought to you by DARE, to keep kids off of space drugs. This is your brain. This is your brain on space drugs. Support DARE to keep kids off of space drugs today. Get high off of abstinence from space drugs. Don't become a space hippie.
Welcome back to Space Junkies with Patrick Brooks and Captain Nick.
So let me ask you a couple questions. Personal questions. Me. Let's help the people get to know you. I'm going to ask you some quick questions and I want some quick answers, okay?
I'm shooting from the hip. Let's do this.
Okay, shoot from the hip, Clint. Okay, here we go. Favorite space movie?
Oh, shit. Empire Strikes Back. There's good no
choice.
Question.
Not the right one, but good choice.
Spaceballs how is the dare correct you. Answer. Spaceballs would have been a great answer.
Favorite space TV show?
Oh, favorite space TV show is for sure going to always be, I mentioned earlier, Battlestar Galactica. But, like,
Futurama,
I know, but, like, and I'm going to go with, like, the new Battlestar Galacticas just because, like, Katie Sackhoff is such a babe.
Say, Katie Sackhoff.
She's a babe.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Choose a character, any fictional character from space. What is your favorite space character?
Space character. It's going to have to be...
Not Green Kathy Ireland.
Oh, shit. I was going to say Green Kathy Ireland. Everyone, anyone but Green Kathy Ireland? Okay. In that case, Green Neil deGrasse Tyson. No, for sure, favorite character of all time. I totally dig Chewbacca.
Chewbacca's amazing.
He's amazing. What a great choice. Yeah, you live for a long time. He's a hairy beast, you know, like, and Chewbacca. He's got that bow badass thing. He doesn't deal with anyone's shit. Like when somebody's like, hey, Chewbacca, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing. I'm fucking Chewbacca. And he does his thing. He's great.
Rip your arms off and beat you to death with him. Fuck off. Chewbacca's a great choice. I can't even argue with Chewbacca. I would probably say Bender, but Chewbacca would beat Bender's ass.
Oh, Bender be dead meat.
If you had to inhabit any fictional space location as your residence, what would it be? Home, let's say, not just building, but like a city, a town, a location.
Well, it was going to be Mars. It was going to be Mars. I wanted some place on Mars, but then Elon Musk is fucking all of this up for me. Like he really likes
fucking shit up for people.
He likes it, you know, Bitcoin or Mars. He's just going to ruin it. So, and I dig it. I love that he's going to bring human beings there. Like that part of it, I love so much. But like here, I had this nice spot. What I really like
about Elon Musk, real quick.
Yeah, talk to me.
Elon Musk is, well, Elon Musk is exactly like if a internet troll somehow came into possession of billions of dollars, which is pretty accurate because that is exactly what happened.
That's precisely what happened. Yeah, yeah.
Space location you would call home if you could choose.
Well, it was going to be, like I said, Mars was cool until Elon Musk encroached on my shit. And I was really going to enjoy all the peace and quiet, but there he is. So, I've definitely got to go with like a... Earth-like place, like at the end of Interstellar, when like Anne Hathaway finds like our actual home, right? Like that place sounds pretty cool. But actually, I'm taking it a step further. How about fucking Earth? Okay, like Earth is great just the way it is, and this is something that really upsets me all the time. How we always want to like go find the next planet for human beings.
The grass is always greener.
It's always greener, right? Like I mean, yeah, I know we got some war, we got some pestilence. You know, there's some problems, but like. Earth is still rad. It's a great place. It's in the Goldilocks zone, this habitable zone, right? Like we're doing pretty well. We've got a lot of water. I mean, there's way too many human beings, unfortunately. But like, sucking up all the resources. But like, Earth is great.
That is a solvable issue, my friend.
It is. We've got just these unbeknownst millions of species of wonderful animals and creatures on Earth. And like, we don't treat them well enough. We don't treat this beautiful Earth that's given us so much well enough. You know, like, I mean, you have like dinosaurs lived on Earth for hundreds of millions of years, doing great until, you know, an asteroid smoked them all. And like, but they did great besides that. They didn't like go, you know,
how they fucking doing now? I got an iPod. Do dinosaurs have an iPod?
Touché. Dinosaurs are gone. So they, you know, like, but like human beings, we fucked it all up pretty quickly. But if we didn't, true. Earth is great. It's a sweet spot. It's prime territory. This is what,
that's fact.
Yeah. So that's why you think like,
and it's not ruined. It's not done. You know, it's still cool.
It's still cool.
It's just like a rundown McMansion. Just needs a little bit of love. Perk it back up. You know.
Well, you know what this? We know what we need to do. We need to pimp this house.
Oh my God, we need to get Exhibit up in here. Yo, I heard you like trees inside your trees, so I put a forest inside your forest house. Oh, shit.
Exhibit's going to drop some knowledge on this Earth. So,
hey, can I make a confession real quick?
Yeah.
I recently started listening to some of Exhibit's music from the 90s again.
Oh, you can do no wrong. Yeah.
And just, there's a song he has called Alcoholic that I remember listening to as a, I don't know, maybe 12-year-old little boy sitting at my computer in my bedroom playing The Sims on my very first PC computer. It was a compact, trying not to be jealous. And I remember playing that song and listening and being like, call it what you want to call it, sipping some apple juice. I'm a fucking alcohol. And then my mom would be like, what are you saying? Nothing, Mom. I'm just playing The Sims.
Just The Sims.
And that's a memory I have. So I just wanted to share that with everybody because it's totally relevant.
by all means. I mean, like if we had exhibit up in here to like kind of revamp this, we'd be fine. Green exhibit.
I'm just gonna make a note to you right now. I'm gonna make a note in red on my paper that we need exhibit on the show.
Yeah, you know, I think he's had a lull in his career. He could really use some space junkies in his life.
Exhibit's rich as shit.
So maybe he doesn't need us.
I've seen his gangster chains.
I feel like we need Exhibit more than he needs us.
Oh, that's unquestionable. But I'll tell you what, if this show ever takes off, we are both buying gangster ass space junkies gangster chains. I want like an astronaut pendant iced out.
Iced out like Europa. Let's do it.
Way to tie it into space. Look at you. Okay, let's get back on track. You ready to get back on track?
I'm there, baby.
Let me just finish this note that we need Exhibit as a guest. I made that in red pen.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to write green in parentheses.
Green Exhibit would be preferential for sure.
We need space. Okay, so let me make a proposition to you and to the guests on our show. I feel like anytime any person, place, or thing joins us on the show, they immediately have to become green. Because that's like a space junkie's
laugh. There's no question, right? Like, we got green Kathy Ireland. We got green Neil deGrasse Tyson. We got green Exhibit.
Hey, this is Joe Blow from NASA. No, it's not. You're green Joe Blow from NASA. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Okay, that works.
I felt like it didn't land, but I'm fine with that.
A lot of things don't land. You've seen what Elon Musk has done recently. But that's okay, because he's getting there. He's always making progress.
I almost made a fucking Challenger joke right there.
Well, that's not. It's too soon.
It's too soon? I thought it might be too soon.
It will always be too soon. But, you know, I think that brings up a good point, though. Like, I mean, human beings, in their struggle to send ourselves and, you know, machinery and just in the strive to obtain knowledge from space, we've had our ups and downs, right?
There's been a lot of trial and error along the way, and a whole lot of really, really brave people have sacrificed both their lives, their health, and their sanity in order to get us where we are as quickly as we have. Because again, it wasn't a little over 100 years ago that the Wright brothers first took flight. So yeah,
this happened real fast, right? I mean, the Wright brothers took flight not a long time ago. Next thing you know, we're putting people on the moon. And if you believe that happened.
Which is something we will delve into here on the show. In addition to the stories of those brave pioneers who lost their lives in pursuit of space travel, we're going to tell you all about the conspiracies that say the moon landing is actually true.
That's damn straight, those conspiracies. You know, yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about lots of conspiracy theories here.
Can you believe people actually believe that?
That the moon landing's real?
Into the moon?
That's lunacy. It's almost lunar, see? So, like, you know,
bask in that because you deserve it. That was incredible.
Lunacy. You know, so we're going to talk about some conspiracy theories left and right on the show. I mean, like, you know, it's so fucked up to me, bro, that, like, of our 9 or 8 planets, you know, I mean, like, rest in peace, Pluto. No, Pluto's dead, man. It's a Kuiper Belt object. But, like, maybe one day. Green Neil deGrasse Tyson fucking killed Pluto. That's a fact. In, like, 2006. So, look at all the planets in our solar system. It is just jacked to me that, like, they're all spheres except for Earth. It's the only flat one.
That is pretty wild. I mean, I wonder, who do you think started the round planet conspiracy?
I don't know, who did Earth piss off? Like, what did Earth do wrong? Oh, man. So
you know what I bet happened? I bet it was just like the sun and another star were like trying to bump, you know?
Yeah.
Like the sun was like, yo, what's up, other star? You hot? I'm hot.
Andromeda was like, you hot?
Hey, come here. I want to put my meteors on your face.
That's probably what happened.
Right on the lunar surface. Come here. Yeah, it's good. Get up into my orbit, girl. That's what happened. And then the Earth was in the middle and got smushed, and that's how it got flat.
See, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is a theory. There's lots of theories.
I'm gonna write that up like an intelligent person when I'm sober, and I guarantee fucking tee it. I'm going to make some people on the internet believe it.
Oh, easily. Like, put that on 4chan, and I'm sure somebody's going to be like, yeah, this sounds right. Like, these two suns were trying to bump. They were trying to bang. man.
Okay, so on that note, are there any other space conspiracies that you can think of that you are looking forward to diving into?
You know, I think that aliens, you know, that's cool. That's real. That's realistic. Like, if you really think that the Earth's flat, like, I don't know how to help you guys. That's like, we're going to talk about it, that some people are idiots. But
are we going to build a hierarchy of space conspiracies?
Yeah, that's just one. It's like, man, come on. Earth's flat. So I don't understand that at all. We want to really talk to some scientists, right? We want to delve into some things. I mean, like, it's really cool to me, you know, you and I and you, my dear listeners, like, we are all the same age as the universe, because matter cannot be created nor destroyed, right? We know this. One thing Neil deGrasse Tyson has said, and actually Green Neil deGrasse Tyson specifically, is that whether or not you believe in science, it's still true.
That's right.
I love that.
You
right?
don't have to believe. It remains true. It remains
true.
What.
So like, so when we think about ourselves, right, we think about our daily interactions, whatever that is, what political talking head in an empty suit we're voting for, or vice versa, whatever it is, everything goes back to the fact every bit of us and the earth that we stand upon and the gravity that holds us on that earth and all of the other planets and celestial bodies that we can look at in the night sky. Everything was created at the same time, right?
That's pretty wild to me. Yeah. I mean, just the fact that matter is just recycling over and over and over again.
Exploding stars. And this goes back to your theory about stars trying to bump, man. Like, I think that sure, there's novas, there's supernovas, but have you ever heard of stars fucking?
Called a triple X nova. You can only see it if you're over 18.
Damn straight. 18 billion years old.
Which you need to look at the telescope behind a beaded curtain.
Slightly longer than the universe has been around. It's cool to think about this, like, we're all exploding stars. I think about sometimes, like, gold. It's something that I wish I had a whole bunch of, because I'm a human being and I care about rare objects. Not. Gold is one of those things you're like, shit, I wish I had a bunch of gold. But, like, can you imagine, like, being on the sun and, like, gold is a vapor? Because it's so fucking hot. Like, the gold. Hey,
let's just go ahead and ping off of something I have never fucking heard before. I'm sorry. Run that by me one more time.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, I mean, like
there is vaporous gold on the fucking moon?
No, not on the moon. The moon's not very hot.
Sorry,
on the sun.
Oh, on the sun. Oh, yeah, well, that still is very interesting.
Holy shit. Right. But all these metals and these the elements that we have on Earth, like, they're there in our solar system. They're on the sun. They're vapor. Because
doesn't it rain diamonds on Saturn?
I don't know. It sounds great. I want to learn more about that. That's badass. And that's the thing, man. We just want to learn more. So as space junkies, we're not here to be the guys who tell you everything. We're here to be the guys that are novices that want to interview the people who actually have an idea about this. And we want to learn more from them. And all the time, even though it seems like we get desensitized to, you know, profound revelations of space and to, like, dramatic inventions, we want to learn more about those. And they happen all the time, all around us. And they're really cool. They're really important. So that's the premise of Space Junkies.
The mission of the Space Junkies space program.
The program.
To educate ourselves and others about the mysteries and glories of space technology and exploration from America to Europe to India to Asia and beyond.
That's damn straight. That's what by beyond, he certainly means throughout the cosmos.
That's right, baby. I mean deep, deep up in your cosmos. It's, you know, there's so much. I mean, we were talking about earlier, and we've done so much planning and so much kind of discussing about this show. We have a list of topics, well, as long as my arm. We, you know, again, that's just our brainstorming. That's just our initial thoughts. And like we were talking about, there's so much depth, so many different places to go just between each other as we learn, between having experts on, reading the newest studies, articles, and findings. And then, of course, you start talking about the history of space, because as important as it is to know where we're going, we didn't know how we got here. And I think, Pat,
right,
that's one thing that you and I both share is a love for history. You and I are both men who have an appreciation for our forefathers, our foremothers, our forebrothers, and our four sisters. I don't know. I'm really excited about this show. I'm really excited about spending time with you and whoever chooses to listen to us. Hopefully all million and million five, million six, 2 million of you. What do you think? 2 million people?
Oh, easily. We can get that.
Perfect. All 2 million of you listening, all 2 million of you fellow space junkies. I'm really excited to take this journey, to start learning, because I know some things about space. I know what I like about space. Most of what I know about space is space history and space media. I'm looking forward to learning about space science. I'm looking forward to talking to the people that do the jobs, both to find out what they're doing professionally, but I also want to know what things influence them. What movies, what TV shows do they look at as the most accurate or the most entertaining? What stuff do they see that, you know, like I used to work in law enforcement, and watching cops on TV would sometimes frustrate me because they would do things that were just so obviously not realistic. What's the space version of that? What do they see that like bugs them?
And you know, there's something, you know, that there's people who,
their work's way more complicated than mine was.
Yeah. They're putting they're literally rocket scientists. So they're putting people into space or, you know, machines into space to learn about it. And that's exactly what we should do. I love, and as you heard in the beginning of our podcast, when John Fitzgerald Kennedy says, "We choose to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard." That's exactly what we're supposed to do as human beings. And it doesn't matter if you're necessarily an American versus a Russian cosmonaut or, you know, so on and so forth. Just as human beings, this is what we can do. And this is what brings all of us together. There are some things so much bigger than our small conflicts we have. I have a multiple subject teaching credential. One thing that I would always share with my students is that we should take on an astronaut's perspective when we look at each other. Because when the Apollo 8 mission launched, and Earthlings got to see an Earth rise for the first time. They got to see Earth come above the moon, right? Like, they got to see this little blue planet in the midst of this beautiful solar system, in the midst of someplace so freaking large that we call it space. It's that big. And they
It's so hard to have a concept of what that is, what that size is, until you start seeing it and you start seeing Earth from those angles and going, oh, like, well, there's my home. But like, look at all this other stuff going on. And that's not even a chunk of it, you know?
No, they see it from an astronaut's perspective. And that's something that we, like a lot of human beings, never will see, right? I mean, like, this is the place where all of human history has taken place. I mean, all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. And it's happened right here, and it's still right here. Nothing's left, really, you know, except for Elon Musk's Roadster. Like, I mean, like everything else is pretty much contained right there on this blue planet. And we're talking, you know, 4.5 billion years of history right there. And from an astronaut's perspective, you see it, and you see it as a place where we must all learn to get along and must all work together, because this is what we have. If we were all, every nation, every nationality, all stuck together in a house, well, you know, someone, you guys would get a schedule on who's going to do the dishes, who's going to clean the bathroom. We'd work together.
Well, look at the space station. You have international crews from countries that do not have, you know, clean or happy diplomatic relations. They get up into that space station, and it becomes a situation where, like, okay, it's the eight of us. Language barriers, country barriers, religious barriers, all of that disappears because we're living in a tube in the sky further than any other humans away from the planet.
Mind blown, right?
Right now, and we can see every human that has lived, is living, and will live out that window.
Isn't that something?
The rest of it really doesn't freaking matter that much when you look at it in that context.
No, I promise you, every Israeli and every Palestinian from that context would go, oh, all right, I guess we're on the same page. All the war, all the tragedy on Earth would be gone if we could all see it from the astronaut's perspective.
Well, and for all of the things that are happening and the speed that it's happening at, there's a chance that you know, within our lifetimes, large numbers of human beings will have that opportunity. And it will be very, very curious to see what effect that has on people coming back. You know, you look at people who travel to Europe in their formative years to go see the rest of the world. Maybe they go to South America, they go on a missionary trip, whatever it may be, and they come back different.
Sure.
They speak differently. They think differently. Their perspective is different. They talk about, oh, well over there, they do it this way. Now imagine what effect it's going to have on people to have their perspective shifted from Earth to space. Exactly to your point.
And you know, the thing is why I can't just sit idly by and not be so intrigued and so mind blown by these advancements in scientific technology when we go visit Mars with this rover, like you brought up earlier, is because like these advancements are going to be made in our lifetime. I don't know if I'm not going to go to space one day. It might happen. Right. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to go far, but I might be able to.
But at the very least, you may have a chance to get up there and get that astronaut's perspective.
For sure. And I mean, like,
that's fucking incredible.
I want to see that astronaut's perspective, and it might really be the thing that alters our vision of each other on this planet. And that's why space is incredible to me. They're talking about putting hotels, you know, just outside of our atmosphere. And that might happen pretty soon.
And that's just it. I mean, think about the reality of not that fucking long ago, people leaving their county was kind of a big deal. And there's a very good chance that at some point in our lifetime, you could say, hey, honey, what are you doing next weekend? No, nothing. Okay, great. Let's take a trip up to the atmosphere and just go spend a weekend.
Just a weekend.
That's realistic.
Getting that astronaut's perspective.
You're listening to Space Junkies.
The out of this world class leader in elegance, luxury, and style. The Atmosphere Hotel and Resort. Miles above the Earth's surface, you'll literally be looking down on everybody else on Earth. With room rates starting at $7 million a night, the Atmosphere Hotel and Resorts makes the Four Seasons look like the No-Tell Motel. It's designed for you, and by you, I mean Jeff Bezos, and that's pretty much it. Coming the summer of 2035, the Atmosphere Hotel and Resort. Pre-booking available now, you bougie bitch you. Join us, Jeff, and look down on the rest of the world.
This concludes a Space Junkies commercial advertisement. Welcome back to the Space Junkies podcast with Nick Portoff and Patrick Brooks.
As we delve into this show, as we've kind of touched on so many different topics that we have ahead of us, what are you most looking forward to? What topic, what area of space are you most interested in learning about, exploring, talking about? What piece of it draws you the most?
You know, I think the thing that will consistently and always just be awe-inspiring to me is our place in this universe. There's not a lot of difference between myself and somebody who lives in another country, or, you know, like, we're all human beings, right? We're all human beings on this earth together at the same time, you know, not in medieval times, but right now. And I want to know where we are. Like, how far along are we? Like, are we going to meet other life forms in my lifetime? I mean, I hope so. Where at this point in the time-space continuum are we? Am I? And it's something that always incites my interest, and it always will. So as we hurtle through space at millions of miles an hour, right? Like untold speeds that we can only imagine. Where are we? And it encompasses the question of like, why are we here and where are we going? And it's something that will always blow my mind. So I guess that's about it. It's the most open-ended thing I could possibly say.
It's an interesting question though. When you start, you know, again, it ties into everything. It ties into the travel to other planets, the exploration, the aliens, the myth, the legend, going all the way back in human history. I mean, space is the foundation of most of our religions in one way or another. It's the foundation of most of our myths, most of our legends, most of our awe-inspiring moments from the earliest primitive days. And you start looking at it, and then you realize that soon the opportunity is going to come for us to start answering at least some of these questions. What's on the moon? Well, we have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But pretty soon we're going to have the technology for someone to take a shuttle and fly around it for a day or two, mapping the whole thing. And we're going to have a 3D textured map of the entire surface of the moon. That's going to answer a lot of questions for a lot of people. And once we've done that, it's not that far until we're doing it on Mars.
Yeah, and you know, we're trying to delve into this, right? I mean, there's satellites that have circled Saturn recently. Or moons of Saturn and Jupiter. Like, this is something we're aiming towards. The human beings are going to accomplish. And to your point earlier, man, we're accomplishing it at a rate that's astoundingly fast, very quickly.
I think it's important for us to recognize that, and for us as human beings to start looking at it and going, the space program is not something that happened in the 60s and then fucking stopped. This thing is still going, and it's going at a pace faster than ever. And now you have at least two major private corporations that are doing things that NASA wishes they had the funding for.
Yeah. And you know, when the space program started in the 60s, that's where it started. Just scratching the surface. Look at us now. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So, Nick, my friend.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to get out of this?
Oh, man. You know, I'll tell you, there's so much about space that I'm interested in because, like I said, I don't know a lot. I have like bits and pieces. I have the surface level knowledge.
Because we're novices. That's
it. I mean, like I, you know, speaking for myself, I know enough to know that I know fucking nothing. And that's really exciting for me.
Isn't that great?
You know, so much of my interest with this show comes from really just being able to have normal conversations with people that are involved in this field and to have conversations with you where we, you know, kind of just debate and discuss and delve into these things ourselves. You know, we've talked about, you know, we're going to pick some of these topics, do some research, you know, independently, and then come back and compare notes. We're going to talk to people we know and then come back and discuss. We're going to bring on these experts and let them educate us and let, you know, and delve into it with us. But a lot of it for me, as with everything else I do, it comes back to the human side. I'm really excited to learn the human stories behind the science, the technology, the engineering, and I mean, to put it bluntly, the superhero shit that's going on
in
the space program at all levels. I mean, the fact that they are doing these things is what creates a Tony Stark, right?
Right. This is where it begins, man.
These are really, really fascinating people. And that I'm very, very excited about, you know, getting into the topics, talking to the people, all of that. And then, you know, just for funsies, just for the giggles, the shits and gigs, as they say, I'm really excited to take all of that knowledge, to take all of that education, and then start comparing it to the media, to the movies, to the TV shows, to the video game. Where are the things that are really hitting real? Where are the things where they're getting it right? Where are the things where they're wrong? And where are the things where they're so fucking wrong? We don't care because it's great.
Well, I mean, considering how large the universe is, there could be space battles taking place right now. So, you know, like there could be space battles in another galaxy now.
I'm going to be honest with you. That fucked with me for a little bit. That screwed me up for a second. My brain vapor locked when you said that.
You know, but I love like every Star Wars, right? You know, a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago, right? These are things that like, yeah, that might be the case. George Lucas might be a prophet. He's not wrong. These could be taking place right now. The universe is so large. And then, if I may, because it's the first episode, if I may tickle someone's fancy, let's talk about the multiverse, right? Let's talk about multiple universes and how this all could be taking place right now, us fighting in these battles in the multiverse right now. I don't know. We're gonna cross a lot of
the multiverse here. Shit wrinkles my brain. I have such a hard time comprehending that, so that's going to be a very exciting conversation.
And that's the thing. So does everyone, right? I mean, that's not something that, like, you can just read through and go, oh, yeah, I totally get that, man. Like, you know, quantum mechanics. Yeah, I read about quantum mechanics. I'm like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. No, I'm fucking lost. And that's why we have a show called Space Junkies. So
as soon as you put the word quantum in front of something, my immediate thought is I am way too stupid to understand this.
But that's the beauty of this show. We're going to talk to someone who isn't.
Exactly.
And you, dear listener, may listen to us and go like, come on, morons. You don't know about quantum mechanics. Good for you. Thank you for listening to the show. Or
if you're that person, I want you as a guest because you're smart people and I want to learn from you, please.
Email us, please. Yeah. Now, if you're somebody who's like, oh, yeah, I don't really know much about quantum mechanics either. This might be the show for me. Well, it is. Because we're going to talk to people who can help set us straight. So that's what Space Junkies is all about. It's about everything space. It's about movies and shows and quantum mechanics and the multiverse. And it's about space history. And it's about the fact that perhaps the Big Bang coincides with the ideals of religion. I don't know. Well, that's what we're going to find out right here on Space Junkies.
Space Junkies!
So without further ado, thank you very much for being a part of Captain Nick and Patrick's inaugural episode. There's more to come. We've only scratched the surface.
I can't wait to blast off, buddy. This is going to be a good time.
We're going to blast off together.
We are going to have aggressive sexual intercourse with space, then spoon afterwards.